This is RSBNB Update, episode 282, recorded Friday, November 12th, 2010. The Secret Sauce. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this fine podcast known as RSBNB Update. Chief Snake is here, not Brad. I realize that might have been a little bit confusing, but I'm going to explain my rationale behind that. Back in the olden days, he used to have a period in his name, Chief.Snake, so I figured I would be funny and use that same kind of nomenclature here and name it Chief.Brad. But it's just Chief Snake here this week.
Good old RS classic naming system.
Yeah.
Replaced with the space.
You're lucky that happened, because I was going to call you the smelly Chief Snake this week.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Thanks, Shane. You're very kind to me.
I know. Alrighty. So, you might notice I sound a bit different, but I'll talk about that later. And at the end of the show, it kind of came down to a technical problem. So.
Just right now as well. Terrible.
Yeah, you know, it just happens like that. But
yeah. I can't say that has not happened to me before. Well, not in the same exact way, I suppose. Not with but anyway.
Yes. BOSU. Bank op and equipment screen update. That's how you'd say that, right? BOSU?
BOSU. I was just wondering when you said it. BOAISU. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think it's Asian.
BOAESU.
Okay. So it doesn't do a phonetic language on that. That's okay.
But that's because it's all in capitals. Anyway.
Yeah. Right.
What is BOSU?
Well, BOSU is the Bank Op and Equipment Screen Update, as the acronym would say. So,
nice. As we saw in the developer's diary last week.
That was in the developer's diary? Well, No, it was in behind the scenes.
Oh, behind the scenes. Well, same thing.
So, basically what this does is twofold. First off, let's talk about what it does for equipping armor and eating food and whatnot.
Okay.
So, let's say you just got back from a Slayer task and you're poisoned. So, previously, what you'd have to do is you'd have to go into your bank, withdraw your anti-poison potion, and close your bank and click drink. But now what you can do is you can just withdraw the potion, right-click on the potion, and then choose drink. Same thing goes for food and whatnot. So,
oh, see, that was also a disadvantage, say, if you were poisoned, because as soon as you closed your bank, then you would take poison damage.
Okay.
You know, if the timer, because everything runs on a timer in RS. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Have you ever died from poison damage?
Yes.
I don't think I have.
A long, long, long time ago.
Okay.
I can still remember. Sorry.
So, basically, aside from that, it also allows you to do the same thing for armor, and then this is where the new icon comes in. Basically, there's an icon that looks like that icon that's in the equipment panel or whatever it is that shows you a preview of your character. So with that, you can now equip items and see your combat stats as you're in your bank.
Yeah.
So that's good because, you know, it used to be so annoying having to clean up the bank and stuff like that, right? But
well, I mean, it probably doesn't change much for cleaning
up the
bank.
Well, no. I mean, not clean up the bank. I mean, close the bank window.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was just generally annoying. Yeah. Basically, we said it last week as well, I think.
So, I think that's good. Then, I think the second way to approach this update is the fact that you can now get stats on any item without opening screen. You just right-click and choose stats. It also has a compare feature, so if you wanted to compare two items, you can do that. So, I think that's mega helpful in a way that you don't need to go to some other third-party place to use an equipment calculator now, which is good. So.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And, you know, the content crew is going to be kind of annoyed at this update because what they would do is they'd collect weights of items to a decimal point or two. But now with this, you don't need to do that because they show a decimal point now on the weight. So, for instance, it shows that the Boots of Lightness make you minus 4.5 kilos lighter. So
it took them long enough. I mean, how hard did
that have
been?
And, you know, it was kind of – it wasn't always apparent it was there. But there would be times, you know, when you would equip an item and it would go down more than just what it said it would if you put that item on. So it's good they're showing the decimals now on that. So, you know, I think that's all there is to say about this update, aside from the fact that they said they want people's suggestions about what other items they can do, but they said don't try to suggest something that will allow you to combine items or light fires while keeping the bank open. So,
well, that would just be a bit odd.
Yeah, it
lighting
would.
Fires.
Yeah, you'd have to. Yeah, I don't even know why they would mention that, because you have to move to light a fire, right?
Yeah.
So, the only thing that I did not like about this update was the fact that it layers windows right in the center of your RuneScape window, one on top of the other.
Yeah, that was something I mentioned to you as well.
When really, you know, it's kind of...
Have they actually done that with any other interfaces?
Not to my knowledge, no.
No, it seems.
And
a bit
you
weird.
Know, it just doesn't seem right that you can't move the window.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But then, same with any other thing.
Did you see if it was modal or not?
Well, you can't move it.
So. Yeah, but
oh, do you mean
like if you click outside the window, does it disappear? I didn't test that.
I'm assuming it would disappear if you went. If you clicked anywhere on the mini-map, or...
Yeah, that's true. So probably what if you clicked on the real map. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah...
Although they did update it, just a slight tweak, so that if when you've got the bank window or that equip screen up now, you can't... I don't think you can actually click at all anywhere just on the screen. You have to use the mini-map. You have to... Or, like, you can't hover over characters and see their names and stuff. Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I don't know. That was my really only complaint with it. I know you didn't like the picture it used.
And the picture, yes. The picture of the bank. Yeah, the bank symbol. Disgusting. I don't see how that can make it into a final version.
Yeah, you know, it really just looks like an updated mini-map icon, which I think they could do better with, but it's not going to stop me
not
from
even that.
Given this update.
Just a dollar sign and a... badly drawn polygon.
Oh yeah, right. It doesn't even look like a circle.
Yeah. Who knows?
I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5.
As far as -1 for that purely, but the functionality is fairly good.
Yeah, well, I'm not even giving it -1 for that. That's not much of an issue for me. My only thing is I don't like giving out fives unless it's a major game changing update. So okay. That's Bosu. What else this week in tweaks and fixes? Players will find they have temporary immunity from random events should they die due to the corporeal beast to allow them opportunity to reclaim their losses.
That's good. Nice tweak.
Advisor Grimm has had a right-click option added to allow players to gather their resources a lot faster.
I used that one today. Tested that.
Yeah, always you know, I was wondering about that, because there's always the right-click manage option, but no right-click claim option. I noticed that last time, too.
Yeah, I noticed that.
The download speed of the game client should now be anywhere up to 5 times faster than it used to be. I didn't notice a difference, did you?
No, I didn't notice much, but I guess that's good.
And the Varrock Apothecary has discovered a way to create more than one strength potion at a time.
Hooray!
I never went there even in free-to-play.
Oh, didn't you?
No.
I have fond memories of the Apothecary and classic free-to-play.
Nope. And then from the release notes, I just want to draw attention to this, to two of these things. It says that if you... the game no longer thinks you're trying to light a fire if you try to use a longbow on any item in a bank. That's kind of interesting, because normally you'd only use the Yew Longbow to start a fire on a log.
I guess it shows that they work quickly on some of these updates and push them out.
Yeah.
Without sort of error handling sometimes.
Yeah, but that, how are you even able to test a small case like this? Who's going to think to put a Yew Longbow use it on something in a bank? So,
well, it is funny, though, because you would expect that they'd have been working on things like these for a long time. Some of the developers, they should be used to it, but
they
should know sort of what to protect against. It's kind of like if you're doing web development or interface design, I don't know, specifically for web development, if you know you want to prevent the users from doing certain things, just validation.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of, validation.
Yeah, you know that
you can't trust users to
not to screw something up, so you gotta baby-proof it and everything. But
yeah,
the thing is with this, I'm not sure whether it's a lack of error checking on such a thing, like a Yew Longbow can only be used on such and such item IDs, which are logs. That would be the logical thing to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've said before that there are times when they change something in the game engine that it has effects that they're not completely aware of. So, you know, I think that this could be one of those times, but, you know, we really can't say because we don't exactly know how the game engine works or even how their RuneScript works. But that would be something that would be nice to know, you know? Like a technical document.
Not sure if that'll ever happen, but...
Yeah, probably not.
One of us needs to work for JGIX.
Not me.
No,
I don't want to be a programmer.
No.
I'm doing computer science to do anything but programming. But anyways, there's one more in this miscellaneous section I wanted to bring attention to. Apparently, if you died on a leaf trap in the Elven Lands, your gravestone would appear inside that leaf trap. Now they made it appear outside the leaf trap.
That's smart.
So... yeah, you'd have to basically walk over the trap to get in there and then pick up your items, I guess. But that'd be kind of dangerous. So, anyways, that's good that they did that. Were there any others in the release notes here that you wanted to bring mention to?
No, not really. I think you've covered them all.
Alrighty. You know, it's too bad we don't have a poll anymore like we used to. We just got the quick poll, but that was not very interesting. On the front page.
Oh, that's true. That's kind of good, though, because I never really liked the polls. Oh, here's one quick thing. The healing animation on Jad has been updated to stop it from interrupting his other animations.
Oh, okay.
That's handy.
Yeah, last time I was there was RuneScape Classic.
You don't want to miss an animation if you're doing him, so maybe I can actually do Jad now.
Yay! I've
been failing him the last few times.
Yeah, it's not really worth it. It's not worth
far
it.
Far too lazy.
Yeah. So, last piece of news, International Fight Nights 2. Basically, this is their international Clan Wars tournament, 16 communities fighting against each other. They have a forum topic here. You can sign up if you want to or figure out how you're going to do this. And yeah. I don't know, I didn't compete in it, and I don't plan on competing in it, but I know we have people out there who like the community events, so you guys can go to this International Fight Nights 2 event and report back.
Nah, personally, I don't think there's much point.
No, there's not.
The events are much cooler.
Because, you know, you get so many people in such a confined area, it just becomes white noise.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like, what's the point?
So come to the RSPB.
Yes. Which there will be some this month.
True.
Anyways, I think that's all we got for RuneScape news, unless we just take a look at the quick poll and say that 53% of the people like that as their favorite addition about the new website?
Oh, what is the quick? What was the question?
As you can see, we have a shiny new website for your delicatation. What's your favorite addition? 53% quick polls, 10% hot forum topics, 21% featured news panel, and 13% explore runescape.com. Yes.
So the quick poll is the only poll that they offer now.
Yeah, I know, which is too bad, but anyways.
It's an interesting move, considering they seem to be quite proactive in their polls before.
Yeah, so I know I question whether or not we're going to get the same amount of good data back from that, or if they can, or maybe that's just a way of saying that, the old data wasn't that great. So.
Yeah, that was the thing, though. They seem to use them quite often for
guaranteed content.
Yeah.
I know I voted four times in this poll in four different browsers. So.
That shouldn't happen.
No, it shouldn't. So, but anyways.
At least
you can't limit by IP address because then you got the proxy problem.
Mm. So. But it would be better than nothing.
But then half the people, everybody on AOL who uses the same proxy, only one person can vote in the poll.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyways, that's something for the JX developers to wrestle with. So, we're going to move on to questions right now. We got three audio questions this week. The first one is from Kakarikin. I think I said that right.
Hello, RSPNB. This is Kakarikin again. And one of my questions for today is, the theme is kind of pronunciation of things. I was wondering, what kind of accents do you guys have? I know that Chief, you probably have the most notable accent, and I know this is kind of lame of me, but when I first heard your show, I thought you were, like, from England or something, but nope, it's New Zealand, so I didn't know that. Apparently, I have a Western accent because I live on the west side of Washington. And so I guess what accents do you have, and really fast, on pronunciations of stuff, I say Ardone. Or Ardown, like east-west Ardown. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. So you have a, I guess, what would you call it? Would you call it a New Zealand accent or a Kiwi accent?
Same thing. I mean, it doesn't really matter what you call it. New Zealand would be more correct, but we would just call it Kiwi colloquially.
Yeah. You know, it's not really that noticeable to me anymore.
No, it's the same with you. I mean, you get used to them when you have to work with someone every week for the past year. That just doing the show, but I mean, listening to your voice and stuff.
Yeah.
For even longer than that.
But, you know, I'll say this. When I first started listening to you, it did sound... Yours sounded more extreme than any other accents I would have heard, aside from, say, an Indian extreme. Accent or something, you know? But now it's barely noticeable, I find.
Well, it's pretty arbitrary, really. It depends what you're comparing it to.
Just noticeable from what we hear and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, for me, something like an Australian accent is quite... close to my own accent, so that wouldn't feel very different.
I can tell the difference between an Australian and a New Zealand
accent. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I can easily distinguish between the two, but you wouldn't. It's nowhere near as different as something like a British accent or an American accent.
And that's what Brad was way back last year. He had a British accent.
Way back last year, yeah. But it depends. I don't know.
I don't know, and, you know, people say I have a Canadian accent, other people can't really hear it. I think it depends on where the person in the U.S. is coming from. But I know, for me, that the people from Eastern Canada are definitely sounding different than people from our area in British Columbia. So it really does quite differ based on where you are. So, yeah.
Yeah, it depends what you're used to listening to and all that.
Okay.
As to how strong it actually sounds?
I don't know.
It's like beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The strength of the accent is in the ear of the listener.
Yeah, I know we're having Leo on in a few weeks. He's also from New Zealand. That'll be interesting to see, you know.
Because that's not fully New Zealand.
He's part German, I think.
German influence. That should be fun.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I heard Leo.
No, you know, last time I heard him, he sounded Kiwi. But the time before that, he sounded clearly German. So I don't know. But anyways, shall we move on to Gnome Thorian?
We should. Thank you, Kakariko.
Dear Shane, Chief Snake, and Brad. Firstly, I'd like to welcome Brad back on the show. And
it's my fault.
I would like to
Hi,
say,
Brad.
Have you guys ever heard of the game Combat Arms? Personally, I've been playing the game for about 6 months now since a friend introduced me, and I think it's pretty fun. And do you think we could ever do a PC game, a gaming event with it? Because it's a free game online, and yeah, so, thanks for taking my question. No, Thorian. Good luck, Brad. Bye.
Okay, that was completely my fault for creating that misunderstanding there, but...
It's previous.
Basically, for anybody who doesn't know, I think Combat Arms is just a free first-person shooter game, so...
Yeah.
I don't know, have you ever played it?
I have actually. I played it once back in the day. I
think how does it compare to COD 4?
Introduced me to it. Oh, it's very different. It is very good for a free game. I mean, you have to give it that. Not in the same league as COD 4, but good. I mean, it's worth playing for sure for free. I'm not sure how it is now. I think after I stopped playing it, they kind of changed it quite a bit. So, I mean, you have to give them credit for that. It looks like it is updated quite regularly. But yeah, good.
Okay.
Not as good as COD 4.
All right. Yeah, I've never played it. But as for a PC gaming event, that kind of depends on two things. First one being how easy the server is to set up. It's free, so it obviously shouldn't be too hard. And the second thing is how many people have it and how many people would actually show up to this. If it's like, there's not much point doing it unless there's probably at least 8 people who say that, yeah, they'd come to such an event, because normally only about 1/3 of people who say they're going to come to an event actually show up. So
yeah,
it kind of would kind of need a large number of people for that. And another reason why we haven't so far, at least I think, is that the Steam games that use the Steam client are so much easier to set up. It's basically one command and it downloads
the game.
That's
what
server.
I was thinking.
So that's why we like Steam games for our events.
Not just from a server perspective, but like for users. Do you get the feeling that it's just more convenient to play a Steam game?
Oh, yeah.
A Steam-based game?
Yeah, you know, I used to like the idea of having physical copies of my games, but now I just prefer the digital Steam download.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just so much simpler to keep track of.
Yeah, it's something that's kind of changed with time, I think. But
the only downside, of course, is if you have a slow internet connection, that you're kind of at the mercy of that when you reformat it and you need to reinstall if you don't take a backup. But otherwise, I quite prefer that. So that's kind of why we haven't done that so far.
Yeah.
So.
But thanks for the suggestion. I mean, we can use that.
Yeah, enter it in the PC gaming thread, see what Paul has to say about that. See how many other people would come, and then we'll take it from there. Thank you, Gnome Thorian. And then, of course, we got our final audio question this week from Uncle Dano.
Greetings, my lord Shane and Chief Snake. Uncle Dano returning once again with a question relating to minigames for your consideration this time. I currently utilize several minigames and distractions and diversions to help me with skill training. For example, I'm a real fan of the Sacred Clay Morphic Tool from the Stealing Creation minigame, and I also take advantage of the Shooting Star and Evil Tree D&Ds for their respective rewards and bonuses. My question for you is, which current minigames or D&Ds do you think offer the most value in the way of rewards or bonuses for training the basic production skills? I'm guessing that Vinesweeper may have been a favorite of yours at one time. Thank you, kind sirs, for taking my question and for the outstanding podcast. Till next time, Godspeed, and another fine day in the scape to you all. Sincerely, Uncle Dano.
Vinesweeper, Shane, have you ever liked that?
No, not really.
I didn't think so.
Did you?
Not really, though I remember playing it a few times.
It was fun for our side events.
Yeah. Oh, and for the farming skill of the month. That's probably the only time I really did it.
Right.
I got a bit of XP doing that. 50k, maybe? Which is pretty decent.
Yeah.
But that, I think at one point I got 300k XP in a day. Which is...
That's pretty good for farming.
Yeah. With the help of Vinesweeper.
Yeah.
Although for the time involved, it's not really worth the effort.
No.
But,
no.
You have to admire that girl who got 10 mil farming XP from Vinesweeper.
Yeah, in one day.
In one day.
Yeah, well, but you know, in a way, unless you like Vinesweeper, I don't think that would be as rewarding for me.
Yeah.
So.
No, no.
But.
However.
Oh. I can say I've only done Shooting Star once, and typically I don't have an axe with me, so I don't
really?
Do evil trees. No, it just landed right next to me and I did it.
Oh, okay.
So, I really don't do those two, but the ones I do the most would have to be the Penguins and Tears of Guthix, followed shortly by Bork and the Skeletal Horror.
Oh, okay, you do those two. I've done a few Shooting Stars, but you know, just when they land next to you or when you come across them, then I'll go get out my pickaxe and mine them.
Yeah.
I've had a few more than one, definitely. One seems a bit low. But
see,
I've done a few evil trees for the same reason. But
yeah. I would do them, but I just don't have the... I don't have the tool with me, and I'm probably headed somewhere else, so... And that's basically why I don't.
Oh, yeah.
But
apart from that, I'm kind of similar to you. I just do Tears of Guthix from time to time when I remember, or when you remind me, and Penguins if I see them, but don't go out of my way to.
Yeah, I used to do the Penguins every week religiously, and you know, it kind of got boring, so now I'm kind of just whenever I see them and then whenever I cash them in. So that's how I got the vast chunk of my Dungeoneering XP, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just trying to think if there are any others I do. Oh, does the Kingdom count as a distraction and diversion?
Well, the Kingdom is a mini game, I suppose. So, well, not so much a game, but yeah,
no.
Yeah. Well, we both do the Kingdom anyway, don't we?
Yeah, we do. I don't know. I have always thought they should bring in, like, a gambling component to the game, you know? Like a stock market.
There is something to do with gambling in Port... Is it Port Phasmatese? Robin Hood? Am I thinking of the right thing?
I don't know.
No. Berthold?
Yeah, but you can't exactly wager anything on those games in the games room.
I forget. Yeah, it's not actually... Oh, the games room... No, I wasn't thinking of the games room.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Anyway.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I don't really have anything to add to that one. That's just basically what I do.
Sure, I was thinking of Robin Hood.
That's where Robin Hood is, I think. In Port Phasmatese there.
Yeah, I thought so. See, I was right.
But I don't...
Robin is an NPC involved in Ghosts Ahoy. During the quest, players must play Runedraw against him.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That was like 21, right? But you can't do that outside the quest, unfortunately.
Oh, can't you?
So.
Never mind.
Yeah. Anyways, you done with that one?
Yeah, done with that.
Thank you, Uncle Dano. This next question is from Invictimus. Hey, Brad and Shane, I've been listening for a few months, and I now have my first question. it's even about farming, so I want to work on farming. I've read several guides on the subject. They all tell you to do something between your runs, but they don't have any ideas. What should I do during the downtime in my farming runs? Also, what sites to use for game information? I use RuneHQ and RuneScape Wiki. Okay, so, you know, farming runs, they're kind of subjective in that matter. Typically, for me, the farming run involves just doing the farming run, then logging off to go do something else on the computer, or going to a Slayer task or something like that. That's basically how my farming runs are structured.
Yeah, good advice. I mean, I can't really offer anything more than that myself, because I would just log off and do something completely different.
Yeah, unless you wanted to go play Castle Wars or something, you know? Like, if you were a Castle Wars fan, that would be a good thing to do. Play a few games of Castle Wars, come back, do that.
Because, I mean, you can just do anything. It doesn't have to be related.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be related. There's just anything you can put your mind to, you do, and you'll have fun with farming. I think that's the secret sauce to it, really. Because
basically, I mean, just put it out of your mind. Forget.
Yeah, you know, there are so many things in this world, like dishes of food and stuff that don't taste good, but when they have their secret sauce, it makes them all that much better.
Yes.
So, information sites. I think the first one we ought to mention for the tools is RSPNB, because that's where we're based.
Obligatory.
That's for both of us, but you want to go with any others you have?
Yeah, I also use the RuneScape Wiki just because it's the most convenient.
Yeah, me too. I really don't use anything else. Yeah, it is, because, you know, people expect something from a typical fan site, but I don't know about you guys, but I don't find the typical fan sites all that useful, because they're basically knowledge database rehashes of what's on RuneScape.com.
Yeah.
So, that is not what ours is going to look like, but anyways. Like, even if you search RuneScape in Google, of course, after the regular RuneScape pages, RuneScape Wikia comes up, then the RuneScape actual wiki entry previously used to be a fan site, I think, after that. Fan sites are at the bottom now of that page, so.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah, that's what
we
use.
Where does RSPNB come in?
I don't know exactly where we are in terms of RuneScape fan site, but I know if you put in the term RuneScape map, we're first. I don't know why we're first for that, but RuneScape map.
Can't complain.
So, that's how we come up first. Anything else with that one? I don't think.
That's all
right.
Pretty much all.
Next one.
This question is from, this is the end anyway. Dear the sensitive and beautiful Shane and the dreadful potent Bradley. I don't know what that means.
You must have thought, you must have been confused again by my phrasing of the question topic.
If that were true, then he didn't even mention me.
Oh, well.
If you were recruited to fight in a civil war of your country and had a chance to hop the border and skip the draft, would you? What are you afraid of? Stay Frosty, Steemo. Is that a separate question? What are you afraid of?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
We don't have a border that I can hop, so.
That's a good point. Unless you wanted to swim.
Yeah. I don't know.
I wonder how long it would take you to swim from Australia to New Zealand. I mean, New Zealand to Australia.
I don't think that would be possible.
Or New Zealand to Hawaii, since that's the closest U.S.
No.
No?
Not possible to swim.
Once a long time ago on Google Maps, there was a set of directions to get from Boston to England about swimming across the Atlantic. I'm not sure if that was a Photoshop or if Google Maps actually said that.
I saw one a while ago. Apparently, you can get, I think it was to somewhere like China from somewhere else by jet ski. It was just the strangest direction ever. Someone else just showed me it though.
I wonder about that.
I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know why it would have been in there. Maybe it's an Easter egg. Or it could have been Photoshopped. Who knows?
Yeah, see, if we could not calculate any directions between Edmonton and New Zealand, it says, so it doesn't tell me to swim across the Pacific.
That's a pity.
Anyways, back to the actual question. You?
What are you afraid of?
No, about the Civil War.
Oh, well, again, I don't have a border. So, although, if I had a chance to hop a border, I guess, yeah, I probably would.
Okay.
I'm not fighting for my country.
Yeah, you know, there are some people that say you're a traitor if you wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't fight for anyone's country. I don't believe that's the way to reach agreements or anything.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's a modern way to look at things. But clearly we're not in the military, but if it was a civil war, as if, you know, it was civil war back in the U.S., I think it would depend on if you believed in the cause or not, you know, and what the ramifications of it would be. Just, I'm not a U.S. Civil War expert, but I'm assuming that's the way you would look at it in the modern day anyways. So, but, you know, it you can't really, I guess, look at it in that way anymore, because any kind of rising up wouldn't be typical, you know, given the technology we have now and whatnot. So, yeah, I don't know. But anyways, what are you afraid of?
I probably should have thought about this question.
Yeah, me too. You know, these ones are always hard to come up with.
Give it a proper answer. What am I afraid of? Do you have anything?
No, I can't think of anything. You know, it's something you have to have someone else tell you, but I don't know.
What do you think I'm afraid of?
Snakes.
Yeah, probably would be afraid of snakes.
Yeah, see, I honestly don't know with you, so I should know. I think it's should be my job to keep a psychological profile on everyone on staff. But
oh yes,
I'll get going on that. But
we'll come back to this question.
Yeah,
we'll think
about it. Another show. We'll think of it for that. But thank you, Steemo. This next one is from Regnith. Dear hosts, I'm currently going for 99 cooking and 99 fire making. Don't ask me why on either of them, and I was wondering what skills you would suggest training and how I should train them. I'm free to play, and my RuneScape name is the same as my forum name. Let's do that one first. So if you're going for 99 cooking and 99 fire making, isn't that enough to keep you busy?
Yeah.
Unless he's asking for afterwards, I don't know. See,
considering he has 86 cooking and 77 fire making as of right now, I think it will take quite some time to get each of those to 99.
Yeah. Well, and unless he's wanting something else to train completely, I don't know. It's so hard in free to play. I think the best thing to do in free to play is practice your primary skills, mining.
Oh, right. Free to play, too. I didn't even
mining, wood cutting, and fishing. So, I don't know, maybe, let's see, what's your mining? Your mining isn't ranked, you could get your mining ranked. So, if that's what you're asking for. Otherwise, I don't know, that's what I would do. Maybe 85 woodcutting, that's always nice to have. But in free-to-play, I think that's the best thing to do, is focus on the primary gathering skills like that.
Yeah, and also, yeah, getting the skills that aren't ranked is...
is a good thing.
Probably the generic response for us.
Yeah. Second question. I'm going to be going to college for graphic design after I graduate high school this year. And I'm looking at laptops so I can work on projects on the go if needed. Can either of you suggest a good laptop for me to use that is under $1,000?
That's a big budget.
Yeah, it
I
is.
I would buy a MacBook.
Yeah, that...
can you
that,
get a MacBook for
yeah,
that
you can.
Many US dollars?
Yeah, you
oh,
can.
That's good.
Or even a MacBook Air.
Yeah. Oh, MacBook Pro is $1,200. In that case, yeah, MacBook Air. There you go.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. I think I'd consider the MacBook Air a bigger iPad with a keyboard. So, if you're wanting any serious work, just get the MacBook, because, you know, it's in every way as powerful as the 13-inch MacBook Pros, except it's just got a few little differences. Mainly, it's just plastic instead of aluminum, and it has less RAM. So, that's what I would suggest, I think. Would you say the same thing?
Yes. Yeah, it's just the aesthetic difference.
And it's a much nicer OS than Windows, and the hardware is nicer. I know Mac laptops compared to any other Windows laptop I've felt, including the old-style MacBook Pro, are just so much more sturdier than Windows laptops. The Windows laptops just feel like cheap plastic.
Yeah, I just have to throw in here now, I've actually been considering this myself because I need a laptop for use at school next year. I'm going to be going off to university and doing computer science. But I have kind of given up looking for Windows laptops or just any other kind of laptops. I've come to the conclusion that nothing comes close to MacBooks or MacBook Pros or whatever, any of the Apple products. They have the superior hardware, even if you're paying more money for it. I mean, you get what you pay for.
Basically. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's not really the hardware, I guess, you're paying for. You're paying for the sturdiness of the product, I find, and yeah, the Apple warranty that comes with it, because the Apple warranty is really good in terms of what you get. So,
even though you probably want the Apple Care on top of that.
Yes, you do want the Apple Care on that. Ridiculous. On that. Oh, it's that much there?
It is in New Zealand, oh yes. Or 400, or I don't know.
Yeah, I always get Apple Care with the portable, because if anything goes wrong, it's pretty much just covered. I know on my old one, I had my logic board repaired because the video card was fritzing out on that, so basically got it all replaced for nothing. And if I didn't have the warranty, I would have been out at least $1,000. So it's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
But I must throw in the PC mention, because I know there are people out there who are going to say that the Macs are crap and whatnot. So if you're interested in the PC, go to Dell.com and enjoy your piece of plastic.
There are some quite nice Dell laptops.
Yeah, there are. It's just so much easier to take care of a Mac, you know, like the backup and everything, and automated backups that don't always work on Windows. And if you're doing any kind of computer science-y stuff, you'll be working a lot in a Unix, Linux environment on your server, so you might as well have an OS that does that out of the box. So that's another reason. And with graphic design, everything you're going to be doing is going to be Adobe, and that's all compatible as well. So, and they play games now, so no reason not to.
Some games.
Well, yeah, some games, but Steam games, which is what we were talking about earlier. Anyways.
Oh, yes. No combat arms.
Shall we move on to the next one? From Lemur Ninjas.
Yeah, that's basically it. Dear Shane and Brad, Lemur Ninjas here again, or Ferret Ninjas, change my display name. Yo tengo tres preguntas. I have three questions. First, this tech problem is too precise. Next time, send an error message.
Yeah, that's my edit. We really can't do much with an error like that. Just send in an error message next time, because it's hard to troubleshoot something like that on the show.
I'm half asleep right now. I probably shouldn't have read that out. That was obvious. Anyway, I'll move on to the second question. I was wondering if there were still spots available to write for the RSPB Informer. If there are, could you direct me on how to apply for one of the positions? Shane?
No, there aren't, because these applications are only up when we post them, and it was posted and extended, so yeah, it's kind of a limited opportunity kind of thing. So the best thing you could do right now to get us on get yourself on our radar would be to send in a guest article. But with that, if you did send one in, you wouldn't be in until January, because we got November and December booked up already.
That's good.
Yeah,
for us.
So we're stocked up on guest articles through 2010. So that third,
I would like to know that. I would like you to know that I am now level 65 farming, but I'm no longer a member. Recently, I've been playing Xbox Live since I now have high-speed internet. I've been finding it very hard to find things to do when I got on RuneScape recently. How? There, any ideas on what I can do?
This is my problem right now, actually. So, give us both an answer.
Give up. You've got Xbox Live. Why do you still want to play RuneScape? No, seriously, I don't know. I barely even play as it is, so.
Yeah, you know, for me, it's always about farming. And I know I could say, I know I've said if I could do things differently, I'd wind back the clock and my only $3.99s would be farming agility and herb lore. So I've been considering doing that. But then I stopped considering doing it. But it's still being considered, so that's one thing I could be doing. But see, the thing is, I don't like grinding skills that are useless to me, you know? I got good fun out of those skills. Not anything else. Nothing else just seems worth it to raise up past what I am right now, you know? So, unless a new skill comes out next month. I don't know. But basically, I think the general template for this would be to find something you like doing and then just focus in on that. And if you can't find something, I don't know, go for a walk in RuneScape, look at what people are doing and see if that looks interesting. I know I've done that before. So
that's a good idea. Maybe I should do that sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think it'd be fun to experience free-to-play and being a noob again in this day and age. Because that was 2005 for me, and what, 2001 for you?
I don't know. Far too long ago.
Yeah, so. Anyways,
yeah.
We're dinosaurs in that respect.
Fourth, I was recently talking with my dad about updating our computer. He said we could update our Windows to Windows 7, and he said it would be around $100 to do so. I asked him if there were any alternatives, and he said Linux, but it's an open source product. I knew that Sheeft used Linux and wanted to know what he thought about it. Thanks, Ferret Ninjas. Yeah. Well, Linux is good, but for regular users, you probably want to stick with Windows. I'm just going to put that straight out there. Linux can be difficult to deal with from time to time. Although, personally,
give us an example.
I like it as a main operating system. It's just the fact that you cannot. I mean, for someone like me, I can't use Photoshop on it, which I need to use a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, but for regular users, I mean, it's got the internet, which is fantastic. It's got most of the programs you would need, like email, MSN, via, through Pigeon or something like that, a different application. It's got Skype, except I use Windows for Skype still, ironically, because for some reason, it has better audio quality, and there are no chances of having headset problems or things on Windows. That's the only kind of that. Actually, the main beef I have with Linux, or one of the main things, is its shocking handling of audio.
Yeah, that it falls down when you get into anything multimedia related, really.
Yeah, quite good with. Video.
Well, yeah, that's VLC, right?
Yeah, because VLC is native in Linux.
Yeah. But the thing is that it all comes back to the kernel, in that the Linux kernel back then was not designed to be a modern operating system for users. It wasn't designed to be multimedia related. So
yeah, it's really funny, actually. I mean, reading a few articles about just certain aspects of the system. There are some elements of Linux that have been present like the 80s.
X-windowing system.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably exactly what I'm thinking of, because they're thinking of replacing that with something
else.
Oh,
yeah, what was it called? I forget now.
It started with W.
Wizzy?
I don't know.
No, I don't know. It's not important.
yeah, anyway, it's just Linux is very old, and so it's sort of, yeah, I don't know how to say it.
And
but
when
basically,
we're referring to Linux, it's referring to the kernel underneath the Ubuntu GUI and stuff. So, GUI, that's a new one.
Basically, you want to stick with Windows in order to kind of be safe. The environment will be stable, despite what people say about Linux. And
yeah, you know, that's the thing with Linux, is it's rock hard once you got it set up, and if it's a server or something. So, like, just for example, the RSBNB server, it's been up for probably 2 months before we had a little power outage last week, so that's just a bit of the stability of a Unix-related OS. So, yeah, you are really stuck with Windows if you're for basic users and stuff, so, which is unfortunate, really. So, anyways, I think that covers that one. Thank you, Ferris.
It was quite a convoluted answer, actually.
Yeah, it was. I think it was because you and I can both go so in-depth on those kind of things like that.
Yeah, they each have their own merits, but I think it would be an easier idea to stay with Windows.
Yeah. Mm. Like, for instance, I always say that Windows should be used just for gaming, macOS for everything else, and Linux for servers and embedded operating systems.
At this stage, yeah, that sounds about right.
So, thank you, Ferret Ninjas. Our next one is from Sexy Zilla SXE. I guess that's how you'd say that.
Yep.
And Spellcheck wants to change that name to Sex. Anyways, dear Shane and Cheesesteak, recently I've been obtaining all the levels required for the easy through hard tasks of the Sears Village Diary so that I can use the enchanted Excalibur for its HP regenerative abilities, which is the one that uses 100% of the special bar to rejuvenate 200 life points over time. So far, getting the levels has cost me around 12 mil or so. Do you think that Diary is worth it for the rewards? And also, do you think that having a Guthan set or Bunny Up would have been more useful? Keep in mind that I now have level 70 prayer because of the Diary. Thanks for answering my questions, and good luck, Sexyzilla.
Yeah, well, that Excalibur is actually very handy.
Yeah, it is. Personally. And
the
didn't say if you're going all the way to Elite, which would be 92 herbivore, which would be mega expensive.
The Elite one would be pretty insane, but I would love to have that if I could.
I got it, but I don't use it.
Rawr.
So, I don't know. If you have the money, it's definitely worth it, because the Bunny Up doesn't really heal that much, and I know for me, Guthans isn't always the most reliable option.
I never really liked Guthans, but...
No, well, you know, it's not reliable. It doesn't work when you want it to work. So.
Anyway, as for an answer, though, I would say it depends how much, how far through you are, how far towards getting it you are, considering you spent 12 mil already. It is...
If you spent that much, maybe you should just go for it.
Yeah, you've gone that far now. There's no going back. But yeah, it's a good reward. I would do it for that.
Yeah, me too. Alrighty. You want to read the last question?
Yep. This one is from DogLover36. Dear Diary of Shane and Chief, this question is for Shane mostly. My motivation for training skills has always been money or being able to use a new area, item, quest, etc. After 70 farming, I saw no reason to train other than money from herb farming. Do you think there is any reason to start tree runs again? Also, what are your thoughts about free-to-play getting a boss monster? I think that it would be fine for them to have one, but it would be so overcrowded that you would never get kills. Lover of Star Trek?
That was in the question. I didn't edit that in.
That's good. Do you think there is any reason to train? To start training doing tree runs again?
Well, you know, if you're content with it, then you don't need to, but 70 is pretty good, I think. But unless you wanted magics at 75, I'd at least go to 75.
What about spirit trees? You can't stop before spirit trees.
Oh, yeah, those are good, too. Level 83 for those. It's always nice to have one of your own spirit trees. So, yeah, go to 83. The only reason you'd go to 85, though, for Torstal is if you do Slayer and you get the occasional Torstal seed that you don't want to sell, which are insanely priced, I might add.
Which is good if you do Slayer, I guess.
Yeah, let's see what they're at.
I wish I bought them up early.
321K.
Holy Christ.
And they're still going up overall.
Wow.
So that's because of overload potions. So, yeah, but back to that, I'd definitely go for 83.
Yeah, but we're biased.
Yeah, we are. You could probably get away with 70, but 83 would be nice. So
depends whether you enjoy it or not. So
yeah, that's true. There's no point in doing something if you don't enjoy it. So okay.
Free to play getting a boss monster. I actually, when I read this, I thought that's kind of a cool idea because it wouldn't really be giving too much away for them. Because everyone would be piling the same monster at the same time, and
yeah,
it wouldn't be a hell of a lot of benefit. It would just be something cool for them, you know?
Why not just make the KBD free-to-play?
Yeah, because it is.
It's practically in free-to-play.
Yeah.
Just that little area that you can't go in. But
I used to often get confused with that. I used to kind of think that it was free to play. And
yeah, me too. It's so hard to tell in the wilderness like that, in some of those areas like that. So
they could have the Chaos Elemental. We don't care about that.
Yeah, you know, I really don't know anybody who actually goes and kills that.
That might be a bit strong for them, though.
Didn't you try and do that for Boss Takedown one day when you were running that?
Yes, that was fun.
Was it successful?
Not as successful as some of the previous events because it took too long to spawn. That was the only thing. But it was quite good, I think, apart from that.
Okay. Yeah, I'd see no problem with free-to-play getting a boss, but I have no idea what it would be, so pass on that part. Do you have any ideas?
Yes. No, I don't have any ideas, but it is a good idea.
Okay. That's it for questions this week, then. Just a reminder that audio questions can go to
questions@rsbnb.com.
Or?
Damn it.
571-572-BNB.
BNB.
571-572-2632. That is the number to call for those. And as for text questions, we are doing the show, I think, roughly about 18 hours earlier than usual now, for the foreseeable future, since that time change. So the question topic will be posted that much earlier most of the time, hopefully. And just remember to send those questions in, because I think we kind of surprised everyone this week that the question topic is already gone. So, yes. Anyways, let us move on to tech news. So the Microsoft Kinect has been hacked. You guys will remember last week that we had an article saying that a bounty was put up for this. It was initially $1,000, then $2,000, ended up being $3,000. But a hardware hacker by the name of Hector Marsan has released his open source Kinect drivers, which won him the $3,000 bounty. And there's a video posted of this that you can find in the show notes. It's actually quite interesting to see, but the thing is that the camera resolution still isn't that great, so I don't know what you're going to be able to do with it. It's amazing it actually works for the Xbox and that. So,
yeah, I was thinking that about it myself, actually, when I first read the article. Or probably when you first told me about it, I don't remember. But 640 by 480 is not very big.
That's RGB. Standard. And that's what it uses to do the X and Y tracking. But the infrared cameras that it uses for depth perception only have a resolution of 320 by 240.
Yeah, even less than that.
So it's strange. It's not that great. But anyways, from this, it kind of opens up the door to a huge possibility of things, what you can do with the hardware, you know? Like, just imagine actually being able to control your Windows operating system with your hands. That would be interesting. But
Linux operating system.
Oh, yeah, I guess that would work, too. But I think the drivers are Windows. But Microsoft put out a little statement about this. They said, Microsoft will continue to make advancements in these types of safeguards and work closely with law enforcement and product safety groups to keep Kinect tamper-resistant.
I thought that the driver was made for Linux, though.
Well, the,
because wasn't it an open-source competition?
Well, it was an open-source competition, but I don't know. It just looked like Windows on the screen that was running.
Oh, okay. I didn't even take much notice of it.
So.
That's okay, then.
I don't know. It's hard to tell from the screenshot, but it could be Linux. I don't know.
No, it's probably just my fault, because I assumed that it was Linux, because I read about this for the first time on the OMG Ubuntu blog.
Oh, well, maybe it is. I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but from a standpoint of usability, the idea of this is kind of, it's not that great because the resolution is so low. You'd get better resolution using an HD camera and IR tracking. So, you know, it's a cheap way for Microsoft to do it, but it's early in these kind of devices. So, definitely something to watch. This week on the 8th, Windows Phone 7 launched. Nowhere near the amount of coverage that the iPhone got. In fact, there's a report that one store, an AT&T store, sold less than their half of 20 devices that they got in. So, but it goes on to say that in the same area, there were 200 people who lined up outside for a concert featuring Maroon 5 compared to Windows Phone 7.
Good on them.
Microsoft
go to Maroon 5.
Did make the most of the queue requiring that concert goers at least get a demo of Windows Phone 7 before getting their passes to see the show. Oh, that's pretty sad for Microsoft, isn't it? That they have to go to extents like that to show off their phone?
It is a bit sad, yeah.
Who is Maroon 5 even?
But it's probably their own fault. Maroon 5? You don't know Maroon
5?
No. It's a pop band.
Never heard of them.
This Love, Harder to Breathe?
Nope. Oh, well.
Okay. I'm not going to sing anything else for you.
Oh, that's too bad.
I already started singing American Pie or something in the middle.
Really?
What was it? Yeah, it was American Pie.
When was this?
A long, long time ago. I can still remember how that music used to make me... Something or other.
Okay, so, you know, it's definitely a slow launch, but I think there are going to be people who are going to be interested in this. Probably the people who are on Windows entirely are the anti-Apple groups, if they had not already been on Android. But I have seen videos of Windows Phone 7, and I will say the user interface is a good interface for touch. It's the Metro-style interface with squareness and whatnot. And then basically it's like an infinite kind of interface, both horizontal and vertical. So, I don't know. Once again, I think it's a case of Microsoft too little, too late, just like they were with the Zune.
Yeah.
So, would have been the same with the Xbox, but they had Xbox One and they were first to market. So, anyways. Apple and Twitter work out a supposed deal for ping integration. Now, for anybody who doesn't know or perhaps forgot, since the beginning of September, Ping is Apple's social networking service that is integrated with iTunes. So basically with this, if you find a song you like in iTunes, you'll be able to press a Twitter button and it will link to a review or a post or a like or whether or not they purchased something. So,
just out of interest, has anyone actually used this, though?
Well, they're... Ping? Or this feature?
Ping.
I don't know anybody who's used it personally, but I don't know many people who use iTunes, so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think my sister is using it. She uses iTunes.
I use iTunes on Windows. But the thing... Oh, never mind. Not even going to start. Never mind. Continue.
Okay. Basically, there's another thing with this, saying that they might have Twitter integration, because apparently Apple owns the URL http://itun.es.
Wow.
So they could be using it for that. So should be interesting to see whether or not that happens. But I think that Apple kind of went around, now that we've had this for a while, they've went around the wrong way with Ping. Rather than making it its own social network, they should have just made a client for Twitter or Facebook, whatever, you know, to allow posting from there.
Yeah. I mean, there are enough social networks already out there. We don't need anything else.
Just having a little coughing fit there. I had to silence myself.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
You used the cough button.
Yeah, I know. I have one on this headset, which we'll talk about shortly. So, I don't know. It should be interesting. All right. That's it for tech news.
Unless
you have anything else?
Nope.
Alrighty. Skill of the month update time. Cooking. 53 million XP has been gained so far. 15.7 million of that by JRD Games, who's currently in first, maintaining a roughly constant gain. What?
15 million XP in 12 days.
Well, it's cooking, you know?
Yeah.
You just buy the rocktails and go.
Average XP 1.4 million per day. And sorry, that's 11 days. I'm thinking 12 because this is New Zealand time.
Well, it... Yeah, okay, you're right. You're right. You know, we also had a thing earlier in the month where some guy got negative XP.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know, sometimes Jagex does that. There's nothing we can do about that. But anyways. Second place is Flash with 9.2 million XP, and third is MLI699, a.k.a. Tim, with 7.5 million XP.
So, Flash is doing well, considering he's free-to-play, isn't he?
Yeah, so...
Either way.
Good job, everybody. And
good job.
31 signups, only 3 people have not got XP so far. So, that's a good turnout. You know, cooking's such an easy skill that it makes sense that people would do such a thing like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, this skill of the month, it's kind of insane to look at this graph and see that linear trend line while everybody else is kind of already petering out. So, that's cooking. Okay, time for some achievements this week. What have you got?
Well, this week was another pretty slow week overall, I suppose. Most recently, November 11th, Pirate Sock got 98.
Who's
cooking? I don't know.
Is that Kelsey?
So no.
Okay.
I know I've seen them on the forums, I just can't remember. November 10th, Adiv got 98 Hunter. November 9th, iDog is... How do you pronounce that?
I have no idea.
iDog Ismo got 96 Farming. Yay! That's probably the most impressive one. November 5th, Fetal S got 99 Fletching. Yay!
Congratulations, everyone. Yeah, you know what? Even, you know, you don't have to get 99. It's just basically an achievement like that. And you kind of get mentioned. I think we'd probably even mention it if somebody who had level 3 combat got something like 80 Slayer or something. That would be something notable to mention as well, I think.
Yeah, that would be very impressive. Although I probably wouldn't notice it because I don't pay that much attention when I'm going through the achievements.
I should write you a script to do that.
Yeah. Except, no, be too much effort. Don't bother.
Yeah, might be. Anyways, congratulations, everybody. We'll look forward to Pirate Sock and Div getting 99 cooking and Hunter next week, so hopefully. So I think it's time for a pick. You don't have one this week, which is unfortunate.
No.
You'll be next week.
Okay.
That should give you enough time to find one.
Yep.
So basically, I figured that it would be best to give praise to this headset I'm using because, well, for two reasons. First off, it doesn't hurt your head when you wear it. And
well,
secondly, it... What?
I think it's not as comfortable as some other headsets.
Yeah, that's true, but it's not as bad as some other ones.
I guess.
Basically, what happened is I had a headset, the same brand, Logitech... ClearChat Comfort USB, that would be. And a week or two ago, it just snapped out of old age. So first I went and got a new one. I got a cheaper Microsoft USB one, which it had good sound to it, but and noise canceling. But the problem was it hurt the head too much. And it also did not work on OS X. It worked, but it did the Darth Vader Cyloning effect we had a few weeks ago. With Asa. So that was that broke a core requirement for that. So I went back to the trusty Logitech ClearChat USB, which is the one you use, I think, right? ClearChat Comfort
yep.
USB?
Yep, exact same one, except mine is still functioning, not broken.
That's good.
I mean, yours is functioning, but yes.
I had a broken one before. But, you know, it just seems like the standard one to get. And one main reason I thought I'd mention it is that it gives decent sound quality, and many people don't end up buying a microphone with decent sound quality. So if you are looking for a headset microphone that has decent sound quality and isn't going to make you sound like you're chewing on the microphone, it's definitely one to get, even if you do PC gaming or anything like that. So
yeah. It's a bit sharp, actually, I find, compared to your usual
microphone. Yeah, it is. It is.
Because it's yeah.
It's not a. It's just a basic microphone. It's not anything special as you're hearing right now compared to.
It's certainly way clearer than anything else.
So. Yeah, compared to. The regular
Any
podcasting microphone. So.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm using this week is for some reason, after updating to 10.65 on OS X, my microphone doesn't appear in OS X, the usual one I use to do the show. And I just found this out literally 5 minutes before we were due to start recording, which, is, as you know, is never a good thing to have little technical problems like that. So I still got an install of 10.6.4 kicking around, so I need to go figure out whether it's the microphone or 10.6.5 that's causing the problem. And if it's 10.6.5, then I have to... That's not going to be fun. There's no actual rollback to 10.6.4 without using Time Machine. Yeah, so I'm going to be kind of in trouble if that's the case, but anyways, I think with that we can go into what have we been doing. So you can start, as I know you've had an eventful week, haven't you?
Quite. Oh, I'm very tired, actually.
It's all the standing up in front of people, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Gotta love it. Oh, it's very draining. But no, so this week was basically my final week at school ever, high school. So I've been wrapping up a lot of projects and things and saying my goodbyes. Well, not saying my goodbyes so much. I mean, I've been working on so many things that I haven't even had time to think about the fact that school is ending and I'm never going to go back to it again. And it still hasn't sunk in that it's over. I just haven't had time to think about it. Which is good, I suppose. I haven't broken down yet.
That's
probably
good.
Will happen sometime in the next few months. No. I'm fine, though. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's the end. It just feels like it's a new beginning. So it's a very exciting time, actually. Last night was our senior prize giving and our final day of school. And I had the pleasure of presenting that with my co-host.
Not me.
Myself, not mentioned on this show, but yes, it was a lot
but
of fun
wish it
anyway.
Was me.
Yeah, I do wish it was you. Sometimes. But no, she was a good co-host. Anyway, Oh, it was a very fun event, basically, because we'd only written our lines and things, what we were going to say a few days ago.
Oh, that's the worst way to do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't like doing things like that either, but we weren't giving actual speeches. It was just kind of,
okay.
We had to know what was going on so that we could announce people and thank them and things like that. So anyway, we wrote all that. And then yesterday, we completely changed it on the day we were meant to be doing it. So we were practicing it most of yesterday. And we changed the line so that instead of saying a paragraph each or something and then having the people come up and then we would thank them and go on like that, we changed it so that we would say just one sentence or something, one single line, and then alternate between us, and then we would have one line that we would say in unison. Basically, we completely took the mickey out of it just because it's the last thing we're doing at school and we decided that we needed to have fun.
Yeah, have some fun with it.
So we were thinking anyway. we told our parents to keep looking at the principal's face who had instructed us to do this all formally. This is a formal occasion and everything. And it turned out at the end that she really loved it.
Oh, that's good.
So we were very surprised by that. But anyway, it was so much fun. I'm going to miss that. Well, yes, a very eventful week overall for me.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's about it.
Okay, as for me this week, it's been primarily a week of JPEG encoding. And I finally wrapped that up today. All of probably 90% of it, the other 10% is, well, I really don't feel like bug troubleshooting something 18 hours before it's due, so I'm not going to do that. I just need to do up documentation on the JPEG encoder and a readme, of course, and clean up some code. You know how that goes, right? You write code.
Sadly, those are the parts I forget to do before handing in my
papers. So that's what I got to do with that. But basically, at the end, what I should have and what I do have is a JPEG encoder that encodes to the JPEG specification. It's kind of just a simulator to show how JPEG works. It doesn't actually write any files because, well, you know, there's really not much point to doing that because it's not a requirement for the assignment. But it's just to show that you have an understanding of how JPEG works and actually implement something practical based on the theory of image representation. So that's what I've been doing this week. And in the other world, I strangely did some mining on RuneScape. I don't know why. I don't know why I did that, but I did that.
Interesting.
And then farming runs in StarCraft, and that's it. So roughly a boring week. So
that's good.
But it's going to be an interesting weekend, seeing as I have to figure out why this microphone is not working and then see if I can pull an update on the Hackintosh to 10.6.5. So, I don't know. That's just a reason why I prefer regular real OS X hardware compared to imitation OS X hardware, because it just works most of the time, you know? So, I think I'm done, though, unless you have anything else to mention.
No, that's it for this week.
Alrighty then, we will see you guys all next week. And remember, question topic will be posted earlier, so post earlier. Goodbye, everyone.
See you later.